with the first pick in the draft, second pick, the third pick, with the fourth pick, the fifth pick.
Here's the pitch. He swings as a long drive to right, and it is a home run for Gibson.
Matthews got it back, sets, looks, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's breaking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bag, start the plane. This game is over.
You're listening to Fantasy Advice Bros. Here's your host, Ali.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ali. I am joined by my brother, Rams. And today we have a special guest host. We are joined by Jeff, and he will be talking with us today regarding fantasy baseball, fantasy NFL, and a little bit of college football. Jeff, this is your first time on. How are you doing, and how do you feel about it?
I'm doing great. I'd like to say thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you guys.
Oh, we're special.
That's right. And Jeff, I don't know if you are up to speed on Game of Thrones, but every week I like to give out my theories, and my little brother Rams likes to poo-poo my theories. Are you a Game of Thrones person?
I am a Game of Thrones fan somewhat. I'm behind. I'm only on season 5, but don't worry about spoilers. It really doesn't bother me, so feel free to talk.
So, Jeff, I typically know two types of Game of Thrones people. Either the ones that are caught up live, most of us normal people are, and the ones who haven't seen it. So, you're in season 5. Question one, you know Ned Stark is dead, right?
I've seen that. I know I am in the season where Jon Snow dies at the end.
So, you're in the middle of season 5, and you know he's going to die?
Yeah, because that was kind of big news at the time, so, a couple years ago.
Oh, that takes the edge off, I think, right?
So how do you avoid what happens weekly on Game of Thrones?
Well, people talking about Game of Thrones that's going on now, I really have no clue, because obviously I'm a few seasons behind. So by the time I actually get to this season, I won't remember it anyways, so I'm okay with it.
You won't remember it because you have Alzheimer's, or...?
Well, I'm not listening that intently to it. You know, I hear people talk about it, but, you know, I really, you know, I don't focus on it. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so Game of Thrones, clearly not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for you. We can officially label you as sinful because you're not up to speed, and it is not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for you, which really makes me sad. And Rams, I haven't seen you all week. How have you been doing?
I'm doing all right. I nagged to you a little bit earlier today, and I'm sure we're going to get into that because you'll laugh your face off at me. But hey, hold on. I'm caught up with Game of Thrones. In Jeff's defense, I'm like a casual Game of Thrones watcher as well. Like, I think it's okay. I don't love it. But anyway, get on with your like batshit theory. What do you got for me this week?
Well, I was a little bit afraid to. I was going to ask you, what did you think of last week's Game of Thrones? Were you in love with it like everybody else because of the special effects?
I was. I'm such a sucker. I'm watching it, and I'm like, dialogue, and then boom, dragons, and I'm like captivated, right? I'm like a child. I was like, yes. It was the best episode of the season.
So my only question for you is this, and you're either going to prove me right or wrong. Did you think Jaime Lannister was ever in real danger?
You know what? I did. I genuinely did, and that's where I want to give the show credit, because they've conditioned us to believe everyone's going to die, to the point where you really don't know, and you really wonder, okay, yeah, he's obviously a central character. Well, that's never stopped them before, you know? So, yeah, I mean, he's running to the dragon, and I'm like, oh, you're done, Jamie.
You want to know why I never felt like Jamie was truly in trouble? Because my theory stands pat. He is going to be the reason why Cersei dies. And I said, I don't care if the dragon's chasing him. I don't care if he fell into a million feet of water. He's not going to die. He's got to kill Cersei first. Otherwise, my theory doesn't hold water. So because my theory has to be true, I knew Jaime was never in danger.
So here's my question to you, because yes. I'll be honest with you.
Yes.
Usually, like, the day after, I'm like everyone else. I'll go online. I'll read a little bit, whatever. But I've been really busy reading about Lions training camp.
Yeah, look at you. You're a loser fancy like guy.
Oh, dude, they held a joint practice with the Colts today. I could tell you all about it. But anyway, who saved Jamie's ass?
That was Bronn, his buddy.
Like, we know that definitively?
No, we don't.
That's okay. That's
a lot
that's
of people online were wondering as well.
I do love that guy.
That's the best guess, and that's my theory. I honestly didn't care. I'm like, why is everybody so hung up on that? We just needed Jamie to be alive. That's all that mattered.
Just curiosity, I guess.
Okay, let's get into baseball. We are in the 18th week, which means by now, if you're talking in terms of fantasy football, not only would the NFL regular season be over, not only would the playoffs have started, but your fantasy regular season and playoff season and payouts would have been done. Baseball is a long, long lethargic season. It's enjoyable, but boy, is it long. With that said, I want to tell the people that I'm the baseball virgin. You're the baseball veteran. Jeff is also a baseball veteran. Jeff, how long have you been doing fantasy baseball for?
I've been playing fantasy baseball roughly 5 to 7 years.
So some average in between 5 to 7 years, not 5 or 7, some average or
right, let's go with 7.
All right, let's go with 7. And the interesting thing about being in a league with Jeff is there's 2 playoff spots available, and the 3 of us are jockeying for 2 of the 3. And the way I think if I did my math right, it works is if Jeff loses, my brother and I get into the playoffs. If Jeff wins, then the winner of me playing Rams this week will get into the playoffs.
Unfortunately, you're incorrect. So if it's favorable to you.
All right.
If Jeff,
go me.
Yeah, if Jeff loses, it doesn't matter what happens between us this week. You're in.
Woot woot me.
But I need to win to get in. You can get in as well, like I said, if Jeff loses.
Lose, Jeff. Lose.
So, Jeff, I love you, man, but I hope you lose, and I hope I win.
Yeah, and the sad part about this whole situation is when we had our matchup, Ramsey.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, I could have avoided all this by simply beating you, and I failed to do so.
Dude, our matchup came down to Sunday night.
Of course, on a Sunday night.
So. I know. I was at home. My heart was beating out of my chest. I think I talked about it on the podcast. I was getting anxiety. It was ridiculous. The whole time, our brother's laughing at me.
Yeah, in fantasy baseball, there's not a worse day to lose than on a Sunday night, especially.
Oh, that's so true.
Like I was when I was leading the entire week, only to lose on a Sunday night.
That's true. That's so true. And that day, like, I was down quite a bit, and then Rougned Odor hit 2 home runs. Ryan Zimmerman hit 2 home runs, and I still needed a good start on Sunday night.
Man, Ryan Zimmerman has been on fire, isn't he?
Dude, yes.
He lived up to his billing for you, and you didn't draft him, if I recall.
Here's the thing. Nobody drafted him. He went undrafted. Here's the thing about him, too. Like, he'll go into a little slump. Like, he broke out hard yesterday. He was 4 for 4. He hit 2 home runs. He was in, like, a 2 for 22 stretch there, and I just didn't care because at some point – he's going to come out of it, because when he comes out of it, he gives you a week's worth of production in like a day. So it's worth it. But yeah, and the biggest thing with him is he's perpetually injured. The fact that he hasn't been injured this year, like, major rabbit's foot. Next year, I would not draft him to save my life.
Really?
Yeah, there's no way he can sustain this health. I don't think the track record's not there. But with that said, this year has been a godsend for me because I whiffed on so many.
Do you agree? Would you? So it's my first ever year, and just looking at Ryan Zimmerman as a player, he's breaking Arizona all-time records.
Washington,
thank you. And as a fantasy stud, would you take a flyer on him next year?
Well, I mean, Ramsey's right. So there are, you know, certain players that are just I have red flags on, and he would be one of them. Another one. Even though he's at the tail end of his career, would have been Victor Martinez. Anyone that plays fantasy baseball knows Victor Martinez always had a hard time staying healthy the entire season. But when he's in playing, he's he's one of the greatest players for fantasy there is, because just simply because it was RBI count, home runs, just his production. I would definitely wait for Ryan Zimmerman to drop and hope he would. Then maybe if he later rounds, I would draft him. But
so that's the thing, right? So to Jeff's point, with the way that he's been this year, he's going to be maybe a top 3 or 4 round guy, right? He'll be one of the higher rated first basemen. So with that said, it's do you think he's going to fall off a cliff or not? And, with that track record and the history, you're going to say, I don't think he's worth that kind of investment because I don't think he can repeat this. And that's kind of the thing with fantasy football, baseball, basketball, whatever. It's you kind of got to decide, am I, on it the right year? Am I a year early? Or you don't want to get them the year after the breakout, and then they just kind of fall off after that.
Speak of guys who fell off the wagon, I'm waiting for my apology regarding the beginning of the season. I told you Miguel Cabrera looks like a slow old man. After the third week, I told you he's barely going to return you fifth round value. Do I get my apology in what round value is Miguel Cabrera returning you?
Listen here, you. So there's a few things. So fair is fair. I helped you draft the bulk of your team. Now, with that said, there are a few things that you did this year all on your own that I'm extremely proud of you for and that are biting me in the ass so unbelievably hard this week, and I want to kill myself.
Uh-oh, Jeff, get the tissue ready. Jeff, is the tissue ready?
But regarding,
here come the tears.
Regarding Miguel Cabrera, you're right. On draft night, you said you wouldn't touch him. And I said, why? You know, last year, 38 bombs, 100 ribbies, hitting in the middle of the order, productive lineup, whatever. Even if he drops off, I'll take 25 home runs, 90 RBIs. I'll take it. You know, to me, that's worst case. Yes, he fell off a cliff. For what it's worth, there's a lot of personal stuff he's dealing with. Family back home, Venezuela situation,
which does
nothing for your fantasy points.
Agree.
Honestly, at this point, he's cuttable. He really is. It pains me to say that.
Damn.
He was probably cuttable about a month ago. If his name wasn't Miguel Cabrera, he would not be on my team right now.
Damn.
Why didn't you dangle him for trade bait during the season?
Because I'm a moron, and I figured at some point he was going to turn it on because he is who he is. So, Jeff, he's batting something like 250 right now, right? The stat on him is he's never hit less than 292, and that was his rookie year. He's batting 254.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It's just going to be, you know, he's just one of those guys that, you know, you're just going to see a sharp drop. And then, you know, hopefully next year he can turn it around as a Tiger fan. But, you know, you gotta think twice from a fantasy owner where to draft him next year.
You think this is it? I don't think he's done. I really don't.
Father Time is calling. Father Time line one,
but
Miguel Cabrera.
The thing is, I don't – yes, decline, yes. But, again, like 38 home runs, 100 RBIs last year. You'll take the decline if it's like an Albert Pujols – 25 to 30 home runs, 90 RBIs. The average isn't really going to be there, but he should still provide some value. But this year, again, he's not worth a roster spot, really.
So I'm going to challenge you both. If you were going to draft next year Miguel Cabrera, what round would you guys draft him in?
It'd have to be at least a fifth for me.
Yeah, I would agree. Fifth, sixth
really?
Round.
Huh? I'm going to prove to you guys how much I disagree with you. I would take Ryan Zimmerman in the fourth. And I would not draft Miguel Cabrera.
The difference with Zimmerman is,
yes,
you're going to bet that he can stay healthy for two straight years when he's never done that his entire career.
And I'm going to bet that Father Time hasn't caught him.
Which is fair. And it's fair. And like this conversation we're having is what every, you know, draft conversation is going to sound like come next March, April. It's, do you think Cabrera is going to bounce back? He just had a rough year. Do you think Zimmerman can stay healthy and sustain? Personally, I don't think so. So I wouldn't touch him. But, you know?
Okay, so let's move on to greener pastures. So we're at the time of year where baseball playoffs are all but ramping up for people. We are doing a shortened one because of college football and NFL. And I want to start getting into some of the suggested free agents. I know free agency is very difficult at this point.
Yes.
And we probably won't have nearly as many names as we had previously, and I think that's okay. But let me start with you. Do you have any magic tricks up your sleeve?
Man, not much. I'm going to throw out one pitcher and one hitter.
Okay, let's do it.
So we went over closers really good last week, so I don't think we need to recommend any of those. But there's a starter that's hanging out in a lot of leagues, I think, is Hyunjin Ryu, right, for the Dodgers. He's been meh for the majority of the year, but the last month or so, he's been really, really good. Kershaw's hurt, like we've talked about before, so he's holding down a rotation spot. I don't think his ownership is where it should be. He's somebody that if you can go get him, you need a starter. Everybody needs a starter. I would go grab him.
You know, good call. One, I noticed you already own him, cheater.
It's just because
two.
I need starting pitching to save my life.
He is 45% owned, and his ownership has gone up 26%.
There you go.
And when I read his stats backwards, he's been doing well. It's 30, 14, 5, 8, 4, 18. And his overall record is 4-6, but you're correct. He's been doing damn good, and he strikes people out. If I read his strikeouts backwards, it's 8-7-5-8-3-7.
Yep. And bonus points for Ryu, because we talked about that matchup I had with Jeff on Sunday night where I had a pitcher. It was him, and he's the reason why I won.
Dun-dun.
I know, right?
All right, who's your next? You said you had a hitter next.
All right, yeah, look, hitting is really, really light. My God. So the Phillies called up their top hitting prospect today. His name's Rhys Hoskins. Tonight's his first game. He's got power for days, though, and he's more or less the last potential impact prospect. I don't think his ownership's too high at the moment. If you want to get on, you got to get on pretty much now, because if he hits over the weekend, he's going to be owned, I would guess, in every competitive league. Because, like I said, bless you, he's got power for days, dude.
Okay, and to your point, he is only 7% owned. So there is, you want to talk about somebody deep to look at. So you're saying pick him up and just stash him and see what happens.
Pick him up and see. So, we're recording this on a Thursday. Especially, like, for us, we don't, set a lineup again until, Monday. It's locked in. Maybe he rakes over the next 3 days. They called him up to play. He's going to play. He should be eligible at first in outfield, and if not at the moment, he'll be eligible in the outfield soon, because that's where they're going to end up playing him in left. So, yeah, definitely see. He could be an impact bat. And look, this time of year, you're fishing.
Okay, good enough. And Jeff, let me ask you, regarding free agents, and how do you shop out baseball free agents? Do you have a system? Is there something you look at? Do you have any suggestions you'd give to the people?
Well, I do. So
sexy.
So I picked up Whit Merrifield. He's second baseman for the Kansas City Royals. I do believe that the cat's out of bag, so to speak, with him. People are starting to pick him up. If you noticed in ESPN on our league, that there's a sharp incline in his ownership rate.
There is. He's now 82% owned, and we try to advocate for people under 80, Jeff.
I'm sorry.
So, when
I picked him up a couple weeks ago, it was much, much lower.
In Jeff's defense, maybe you don't remember, we actually highlighted him well over a month or so ago. So to Jeff's credit, he got on at the right time. Merrifield has had a breakout season. He's been terrific this year, and he's hitting at the top of that lineup.
Yep. Okay.
And, he's hitting for power. And the nice thing, one of the things I look for in fantasy baseball, especially if you had the season that I had, injury-plagued, I love guys that are flex positions. When I say flex, I mean they have multiple positions in the infield or sometimes in the outfield, and he's one of those guys. You can plug him in third base. You can plug him in second base or, the infield position, flex. And some guys even have a longer. I can't remember his name right now. But Whit Merrifield is one of those guys that I'd like to have on my roster, just simply because I can plug him in different places if an injury comes up on my team.
Okay,
yeah, we talked about all year that versatility is a huge help.
And then Jeff, did you have another person, or did that cover it for you?
That one covered it up. That was the one that really stood out, because I was actually, every year, you hopefully have that one guy that you're really proud of picking up, and he's the guy this year.
He's the guy who brings a tear to your eye.
Yeah, it was a rough start in a rough middle part of the season, because I had so many injuries, like other teams did this year.
Yeah, definitely not just you.
It was a tough season, and sometimes it can be draining with all the research you put into fantasy baseball.
Tell me about it.
But being in the final week, the 18th week, and you're still fighting for that playoff spot, it makes it all worthwhile, win or lose.
All right, good stuff. And now let's move on to probably one of the favorite things I like to do, and that's NFL. And we are at the beginning of preseason, and I think Rams had mentioned the Lions had some joint venture.
Listen, they're playing the Colts. They're playing the Colts this week. It's
I don't know if anybody
game.
Cares other than the Fords and my brother, but go ahead.
I don't know. Basically, the takeaways right now, this isn't breaking news, Luck's not healthy. The offense as a whole looks atrocious without him. Darius Slay was locking down T.Y. Hilton. It was fabulous. But in all seriousness, just, you know, fantasy related.
Like, yes, please.
Every Colt gets severely downgraded without Luck, and I think that kind of goes without saying. Like, I know in a lot of drafts, T.Y. Hilton is going in, like, the second round. And, dude, if Tolzien is the quarterback, really?
Yeah, and then the team even announced, what, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, that they really don't expect Luck to play the first game.
Yeah.
So, in both of your defense, T.Y. Hilton is the top-rated Tier 2 TIER wide receiver. And being it that you guys are afraid Luck might miss a game or two, would you consider taking T.Y. Hilton as high as the top-rated Tier 2 wide receiver in a PPR format, which all of us are in?
No chance for me. Not in the second round. No way.
No, not at all.
And Luck doesn't have, like, a knee injury, you know, or something that
it's he throwing can come shoulder, back from. Right?
Yeah, which is scary because kind of like Romo with the collarbone, you know, it lingers. What if his first game back, he gets sacked and he lands awkwardly on the shoulder? It's so dicey. I'm not comfortable investing that high of a pick in Hilton, especially because Tolzien, really?
Well, and plus, you know, we're already, you know, the first week of the preseason, and the team is already saying that there's a setback.
Yeah.
So that throws up so many red flags that if the team's already making that kind of announcement, I have a feeling that this is going to last a little bit longer into the season than even,
week
most
one.
People expect. Yeah, I would say this is probably a 6-week setback.
And that's the thing. They were discussing the PUP list for Luck for a little while. It's just not encouraging in the slightest, and I'm not investing that high a pick if I don't feel comfortable with the situation.
Okay, and then when I take a look, Jeff, last episode, my brother and I were discussing if you had the number one pick in the draft, who would you take? And I want to make sure we give context. We do a PPR, all touchdowns are 6 points. We do both a 10-guy and a 12-guy league. I know you run a pseudo differently run rules league, but I want to leave that out because I don't want to digress for the people because your league is super funky, dude. No offense.
It is very convoluted.
And anyway, Jeff, if you had the number one overall pick in a PPR, who would you take?
David Johnson.
And why?
Wow, no hesitation.
Well, he had some interviews where he's expecting to carry the ball 30-plus times a game, and that's huge. I mean, just based on carries alone, he's a running back that, you know, that needs the carries, and he builds off every carry. He's not a 15 to 20 carry guy. You give him more carries, he's going to produce more, and he's proven the last year and a half that or season and a half that he's more than capable of carrying that load, and he's been scoring some points.
Okay. Fair enough. So what I want to do is I want to have fun with this conversation, and here's the best way for us to do it. I'm going to name a group of guys that are grouped together, and I want to talk about their value, and I want to see if there's somebody in here that you guys don't like based on their current value. So I think in the first round, the tier one running backs are fairly safe, right? Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott. You can arguably put LeSean McCoy in. Let's assume McCoy.
There's no argument. He's there. Okay. For me, he's there.
Okay. The reason why I was arguing, saying that there could be an argument, and I'm glad you said that, is you threw at me last time Melvin Gordon. I would throw back at you Devontae Freeman. I don't know. Would you consider those three guys, McCoy, Freeman, and Gordon, a tier two running backs, or would you consider them part of tier one? I'm asking both of you.
Jeff, go ahead.
I wouldn't consider Freeman or Gordon a tier one running back for sure. I would say they're a lower end tier two, more like a tier three running back.
Really?
I'm good with all of them, and you're tier one, so to speak. Look, I don't get hung up on this stuff. To me, tier one, would I draft them in the first round? Would I be thrilled with these guys as my RB1? And the answer to that is yes to all of them. Even Devontae Freeman, I'm not huge on the guy, but look, you can't argue it. 2 years ago, number one fantasy back. Last year, number six fantasy back. They love him. Obviously, they just paid him. It's a wide open, terrific offense.
In your defense, the only back in the last 2 years in the NFL to have 1,000 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns.
I mean, yeah, you can't really argue it. I'm not even like a big fan of the guy, But if he's going to be the sixth RB, right, let's just say whatever, you're at pick 9, for instance, and you get Freeman, you got to be thrilled, right?
Okay, so let's talk next tier of running backs. Tell me if there's a guy you don't like. Jordan Howard of Chicago, DeMarco Murray of Tennessee, Jay Ajayi of Miami, or Lamar Miller of Houston. Is there a guy in that group that you don't like? And I'm looking at them now, and their ADP is rounds 2 and 3.
Side note, Jordan Howard, huge fan, love him to pieces. I think I would take him late first, maybe, depending on how.
So you consider him a tier one. Okay, there you go.
I love him to pieces, and you know that from last year in college, whatever else. But two of those guys you named, I'm not drafting in the second round, which is okay. More or less where they're going.
And who's that?
Lamar Miller and Jay Ajayi. Look, man, Lamar Miller, all that work last year, which was terrific, his yards per carry was terrible. Terrible. He wore down hard at the end of the year. The Texans knew it, too. It wasn't a secret. They went out. They drafted Deontay Foreman. Foreman is probably going to be the short yardage goal line back. I don't like Lamar Miller in the second round. Same deal with Ajayi. I know Ajayi had those 200-yard games last year, and then in other games, he didn't do so hot. If I'm going to draft a back in the second round, my big deal is consistency. I don't want that 35 or 6 for my second rounder, as nice as those 35s are, you know? That's me. I'm averse.
That's okay. So, Jeff, the question right back to you, and I'll name the backs again. Jordan Howard, DeMarco Murray, Jay Ajayi, Lamar Miller, and I'll throw Todd Gurley in there. They're all going between rounds 2 and early and the early third round. Any of those guys you like or don't like for any reason?
Well, I like Lamar Miller, but again, as Ramsey said, I had him last year, so he did break down towards the end of the season. It was a sharp drop off, and
yeah, like a Miguel Cabrera type drop.
Yeah, it was sad. I mean, it definitely his body size, and you know, it's a risk. And again, I don't think he's the running back, especially for a round two, to carry you for the season. I mean, if you get him in a flex position, it'd be a great third running back for your team, but definitely not a second running back.
Even if you were to tumble to like round 3. And I have like a locked in number one, then I would feel more okay with it. But in the second round, if he's going to be my number one back, I'm not comfortable with that. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't know his average draft position currently.
Give
for
or take
Lamar
early to mid second round, Jeff.
Yep.
Wow. For reference. Okay. Yeah.
So now we're going to have a lot of fun. These guys go between rounds 2 and 4. Leonard Fournette, Todd Gurley, Marshawn Lynch, Isaiah Crowell. Who do you guys and don't you guys like of that group?
You know, I like Lynch, man. It's a wide open offense.
I don't.
They're cool, so it'll make it easier for me to land him. I don't really see why not. Everything is still there. I know he keeps himself in shape. It's a terrific offense. It's a top 5 O-line. Everything is there for him to score 10 touchdowns.
He took a
year
off of football doing nothing. A year off of football. Guys that take a year off of football, with the exception of Adrian Pearson being a freak, tearing his ACL and coming back, rarely do well. Jeff, what about you?
Well, I mean, I think Marshawn Lynch falls into that freak category, so I think he can just come right in and start playing ball again.
Man, I'm glad you guys have an open door when we are drafting. Just know if you want him and it is that round you're eyeing him and I'm picking ahead of you, I will not touch him with a 10-foot pole.
This is pertinent information. This is
I wouldn't take Marshawn Lynch until like the 9th round.
Holy.
That's how little of value I think he'll return for. And I'll give you my reasons. Not only did it take a year off of football, I still think it's running back by committee over there.
With who? There's DeAndre Washington?
Yeah, the same crappy core and Jalen Richard.
Yeah, exactly, Jalen Richard.
There was no consistency last year, and I still think it's running back by committee. I don't see why there's any commitment to Lynch. They didn't overpay the guy.
Dude, Lynch is at least 1,000 times better than Latavius Murray, and Latavius Murray's
not a year off, Marshawn Lynch.
Ugh.
Good. You know what? We'll have fun debating this. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, let's have this conversation week 3 once he gets a couple games under his belt and, you know, once he gets back up to full speed.
Into football shape. I call BS. I truly call BS. Okay, let's okay. So for running backs, and we can continue to go down the well, but I want to transition into wide receivers because I know we can have fun with this. The first group of wide receivers is very simple. It's a lot like the tier one running backs. Tier one wide receivers are Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, OBJ, Mike Evans, AJ Green, and Jordy Nelson. All of them are going in the first round. My brother and I in last episode talked quite a bit about Mike Evans having DeSean Jackson opposite him. Jeff, of all those guys going in the first round, is there any player I just named that you would consider not taking in the first round and maybe you think they've got second or third round value?
No, those are all first round worthy guys, definitely.
Okay, so then we're in agreement. Now we're going to have fun. So let's get into what I'm going to call tier two guys. And tier two guys are the ones that go after the first round. And the list starts with T.Y. Hilton, who you guys have already poo-pooed because you guys are going to shed a tear over Andrew Luck's shoulder.
He got locked up in training camp. Yeah, sorry.
Michael Thomas of the Saints, who I can tell you right now, I think that's way too high for him. Dez Bryant, Doug Baldwin, Gronk, I know he's a tight end slash wide receiver, Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas.
Dude, do you understand the Michael Thomas hype train is off the rails? Like, he's going late first in some round. In a dynasty draft, he's a first-round pick.
I know in dynasty, I understand.
Okay, cool. Like, in a redraft, though, I'm not taking him that high.
That's way too rich for my blood.
I think he's a really good player. I know he had a great year.
Very consistent last year.
I know. No, man. He was mostly 5-6 catches a week. He was terrific, but I don't know. Like, if I'm going to have to take him early second like that, there's just other wideouts. I'd rather have AJ Green, no questions asked, you know.
Well, we rated AJ Green ahead of him, and there was weeks last year where he had, I agree with you, like 4 or 5 catches but like 40-50 yards. If you're good with that, then fine, but he wasn't the epitome of consistency. Now, admittedly, Drew Brees on the road, not on turf and whatnot, right? Jeff, any thoughts on those players?
Gronk, I would definitely focus my attention to him because out of all the players on the Patriots, he's the most consistent when he's on the field as far as production.
He doesn't scare the shit out of you because he's always hurt. That's my problem with him.
I mean, yeah, there's been an injury concern, but again, it's worth the risk in my book just to get that guy because of you know, the Patriots. I mean, it's just the way they prepare for every game. They're consistent. They're always in. I mean, they're always scoring points. Brady is the man. What else can you say? I mean, he proved it in the Super Bowl.
So you're right. And to your point, I guess Brandon Cooks on the Pats, he's flying up draft boards as well. I don't. What do you think? Where would you take him?
So right now, and he was going to be in the tier three that I was just going to spot out.
That's a segue.
He's got third round value on him, and I still think that's too rich.
Tom
Brady. So we love Brandon Cooks, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be consistent enough in New England because the ball's distributed so much. And Belichick's always funky with his game plans. If you own any two Patriots, it's always Brady and Gronk, followed by Julian Edelman. I would take Edelman ahead of Cooks, not because of talent, but based on the system in New England.
Look, for what it's worth, I agree with you. There's a ton of pass catching options. They have three backs that can catch it, and that's before you get into a Gronk. They traded for Dwayne Allen. They like Malcolm Mitchell coming into his second year. Like you said, Edelman and Cooks. I'm with you. I think Cooks is going to have some really, really terrific weeks.
Yep,
and then there's going to be some weeks where 3 for 28 and the Pats still score 35 points and win.
It's almost like Belichick, you know, likes to prove that he can beat you in all these different ways, that he's not going to rely on, you know, just, you know, this one receiver and this one running back. He likes to mix up the game, and that's probably what reason why they're successful, because you can go in there and you can just, you know, he can just, based on the game plan, make someone a star for at least a game or two, and then they disappear into nothingness.
Okay, based on ADPs happening right now, I want to play a little game with you guys. I'm going to call it the name game. Who would you take higher? Who would you take first? Right now, Doug Baldwin's ADP is second round. I'm going to name you receivers that are going after the second round. Who would you take? And Doug Baldwin is the bar. First name is DeAndre Hopkins.
Baldwin. Baldwin, not because I prefer Baldwin to Hopkins in terms of you know, just being a player, the quarterback situation in Houston. I like Deshaun Watson a lot. I don't think he's ready. I think Tom Savage is going to be the starter. That does nothing for me. Even if Watson's a starter by week 4 or 5, I don't think he's ready to come in and really take advantage of how good Hopkins is.
I disagree. Jeff, what about you?
I would agree with the Baldwin, just based on just the quarterback situation.
Okay. Next guy, Alshon Jeffrey, who is now in Philadelphia.
You know what, Alshon, I like Carson Wentz. I really do. And all they wanted to do last year was try and stretch the field, and they just had no one to do it with, you know. So they went out right away, Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith. Wentz can throw a nice deep ball. I think he's fully going to utilize Jeffrey. I think Jeffrey's in for a big year. Only scary-ish thing about Jeffrey is soft tissue injuries. His hamstrings always hurt, blah, blah. But, dude, if he stays healthy, he's going to tear it up in that offense, I think.
But we should tell the people you used to own him when he was in South Carolina and you had mad love for him.
This is true. I've always been a fan of Alshon. This okay. is factual.
And, Jeff, what about you?
Yeah, I have to agree with Alshon Jeffries. And I'm a fan of Carson Wentz myself. I think he showed hints of, you know, the player he can be. Last season, so definitely with a player like Alshon Jeffrey, I think it's going to make him even better.
Okay, so right now Doug Baldwin is he's batting 50% on the two names we just named. Next guy up, I can't wait for this one, is Sammy Watkins. He is going mid-third round. Him or Doug Baldwin at second round?
I'm not touching Sammy Watkins with a pole, dude.
Uh-oh.
He doesn't have feet that work. I can't do it. I'm not going in. I'm way too risk-averse to be spending a third-round pick on that dude.
Jeff?
Definitely. I'm with him. Baldwin all the way between those two.
I would take Sammy Watkins. I would not take him in the third round. I'd probably touch him in the fifth or sixth round.
You won't get him. That's a thing. He'll be long gone.
Right, if he's gone, he's gone. Yeah, I would exactly. live with it. Okay, and then the next two, and I'm going to put them out together, and you guys can talk about them together. I find this to be very interesting. Doug Baldwin, second round, or late third round, Keenan Allen or Terrell Pryor, Rams.
Still Baldwin. I know you teed it up because I'm just such a big fan of Keenan Allen back to at Cal.
And I was doing ADP. Yes.
I know. Still, I love Keenan Allen. God, he's so good, but he can't stay healthy. I mean, his knees have been repaired multiple times. I'm not betting on that to hold up this year. I just can't do it. If he stays healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if he were a top 5 PPR wideout, but I can't do it.
Jeff, what about you?
The same thing. I had Keenan. I drafted. I made the unfortunate mistake of picking Keenan Allen last year, and it was my first season owning him, and I definitely paid the price early on. I definitely won't touch that guy. I think it's much like, you know, what we talked about in baseball. He's just one of those guys that has the red flag. Now, if he drops to a much later, you know, point in the draft, I would consider it just to put him on the bench and maybe, you know, plug him in. When needed, but that doubt that would happen. But, I would definitely stay away from that guy.
Okay, and then what about Terrell Pryor? How come he got no love out of you guys? What do you guys think?
That's a good call. I like Pryor. Supposedly him and Cousins have a really, really good rapport. That's a wide-open
that
passing
MSU
offense.
To Ohio State connection.
Yeah, right. And Pryor, look, he's a damn good wideout, and he wants to earn himself a fat long-term contract extension. So I'm good with drafting Pryor. I still think I would do Baldwin, but I would have no issues owning Pryor either this
Jeff?
Year.
Jeff?
No, I would go with Terrell Pryor. I'm a Kirk Cousins fanboy. Now that Peyton Manning's retired, I need to have a new hero, and he's definitely my hero.
And that's who you hitched your wagon to, Mr. Franchise Tag himself, huh?
Yeah. I think Washington is going to regret not signing that guy long term, because I believe this is going to be his last season in Washington. I think he'll take his talents somewhere else.
Okay, look, that's the beauty of NFL fantasy. We can go on and on. We could do quarterbacks, we can do kickers, we can do defense, we can do tier 3 and 4 of receivers and running back. I think for this episode, we've done enough regarding NFL specifically. The next time we come on, we'll go deeper, right? We stayed in the shallow end of the pool in the first 4 rounds. Next time, we'll get into the more hotter items, rounds 5 and whatnot. What I want to do now is I want to talk about college football, college fantasy football. The first thing I want to say is the number one guy we follow is on patreon.com, Mike Bainbridge. Patreon.com is patreon.com. And he only charges $3 a month for the amount of information he gives out. And he will allow you to do weekly lineups, waiver wire pickups. He does breakdowns and all this statistical function. And the fun thing about college football is there's so many players and there's a lot to choose from. And Jeff, tell me and tell the people, do you or have you ever done college fantasy football?
I've taken a stab at it a couple times. I got to say, it's not my favorite thing. Again, it's a lot of work and so much research that I just honestly don't have the time for. I'm not a big college football guy, so it was fun. Yeah, it was a learning experience, but I don't think I would do it again.
Okay. So when we start going through the players, if you feel like there's value you can add, you're welcome to speak up and talk about some of the players. What Rams and I had decided to do for this week is talk about guys by looking at mock drafts, because he and I had previously been talking about where some guys are going and how much value they did or didn't have, and if we believed a guy like Lamar Jackson could return his Heisman-type value. And he and I have both agreed that Lamar Jackson won't necessarily return the 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. He will instead do close to 80% of that, which is worthy of the number one overall pick. And when I'm looking at the mock draft, I'm going to name some names. And what I'm hoping for is, Rams, you can tell me if you like or don't like the round that they went in. And I'm going to start with round one, and I want to fly through it because there's a lot of studs that went here. More quarterbacks than any other position, which was shocking. But off the top, of course, Lamar Jackson went, followed by, and I was surprised, the number two quarterback was Quentin Flowers, followed by Nick Fitzgerald of Mississippi State, Luke Falk, your boy that we owned a couple of years ago, Sam Darnold, JT Barrett, Baker Mayfield, and Mason Rudolph, a guy that you weren't too high on, and when we were talking about guys you don't like. Anything there that's a little too aggressive for you?
Not so much too aggressive, but look at the first three that you named, right?
Jackson, Flowers,
and Fitzgerald. What do they all do? They're all dual threats. They all run, so... Dude, at the top of the draft, like, you want to target a dual threat quarterback just because they return so much more value than a pure pocket passer will. And that's why I think, you know, it's not controversial to say Luke Falk is probably the best fantasy pocket passer out there, right? And he goes after...
Arguably.
Sure. So that's fine. He's up there either way. But then he's still behind the top three dual threats. So if you're going to target quarterback early, just get one with wheels.
Okay, and then I'm going to jump into the next round because nothing too much stuck out from the names that I just named. In round two is where James Washington, the wide receiver for Oklahoma State, goes. Nick Shimonak goes. Jalen Hurts, a guy that last week you said you didn't too much care for, went. And then Will Greer of West Virginia. I'm going to stop round two right there. So it's three quarterbacks and one wide receiver. Anything there stand out to you?
Hurts, we went over last week. Don't like him. Wouldn't draft him. Alabama, no thank you. But, yeah, Will Greer, man, what do you think? You know, he was 6-0 on that Florida team 2 years ago. That's really the only sample size. But West Virginia, Dana Holgerson. Right, wide open. I kind of like it. I don't know that I want to do it in the second round if need be, but he's another one of those where – you know, if we load up at running back and wide out in the first three rounds and he's still there, I would, you know, look at you and say, you know, what do you think?
And the funky thing about West Virginia last year, they somehow pulled the defense out of their behinds.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Very shocking and impressive.
But dude, some of their defenders got drafted.
So let me continue through second round. Cortland Sutton, your boy out of SMU, wide receiver, goes. Rashard Penny of San Diego State goes.
That's your boy. I know last year... You know, because you peruse the box scores so in-depth, you know, right behind Pumphrey, like, next year, this guy's going to be the guy. Because just like Pumphrey, 9 carries, 76 yards for Penny.
Yeah, he was the relief guy, and he did very well.
I know you're really high on him.
Royce Freeman, and I think last time you said you didn't too much care for the Oregon running back, but I completely disagree with you.
I love him. It's the injuries that scare me.
Okay. And then if I go on, so a guy we owned, Jamar Smith, I should say we owned the running back from La Tech last year, but now he's the quarterback. He goes in the second round. Is that a little too rich?
Jared Kraft?
Was the running back we owned last year at La Tech, but now
right.
the quarterback
is
Jamar Smith.
You know what? Yeah, so we talked about their number one wideout a couple of weeks ago and how we just like the system as a whole. I've never seen this QB, but you know what? I wouldn't mind it because that offense is prolific.
Okay, Michael Gallup also goes in second round. Big advocate. I think that's great value.
Yeah,
I think
that's a PPR machine, too.
That's spot on. Kenny Hill ends up going in the second round. That's a little rich for my blood. What about you?
Yeah, no, thank you. We talked about him last week, too. He doesn't impress me. I would not make him my starter.
Okay, and then in round three, I'm going to name off a few guys that stick out to me. One I love, Justin Herbert of Oregon, the quarterback. I think that's great value in round three. Do you, even the new coach, it fits the scheme perfectly for
me. That's true, right? And Willie Taggart led a pretty open offense at South Florida. I'd be good with that. I like these quarterbacks that you're naming that you don't necessarily have to take in the first few rounds.
That's why I'm doing it.
Yeah, which is great. If you want to load up at tailback or wide out, yeah, I'd be good with Herbert as a starter.
I'm going to throw out the controversial curveball for you. Larry Rose goes in the third round.
Mr. Sports Hernia himself, I can't do it. I can't do it. Maybe you could talk me into it because, you know, we're sharing a team like we've discussed. I can't go back on that ride.
Well, I'll tell you, there's two other guys that go in the third round that I would take ahead of him by far, and that's Philip Lindsay of Colorado, who we talked about before, and Justin Jackson of Northwestern, who I'm in absolute love with.
Yeah, there's no question. I know you would probably draft Justin Jackson even in the second round. I know you have a ton
of love.
If
we were
him.
Late second round, heck yeah.
Yeah, I'd be good with that
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Big Ten rusher last year.
Okay. And then let's get into I'm going to name a few names in the fourth round. Taking a look, Logan Woodside of Toledo, quarterback, fourth round. What do you think?
I like it, man. You know, they scored a ton of points. I got to watch them a little bit last year because I'm sad like that. They played a really, really fun game against Wyoming. I think it was like a Thursday night or something. I'm so sad. But, yeah, I like that, man. That's a wide open offense.
Nick Chubb, running back for Georgia, fourth round.
So I'll tell you what, unlike Larry Rose, I would be okay trying to give him another go. I mean, that's a clear-cut NFL talent. I know last year he had a terrific week one, and then he fell off really hard for us. But I would give it another shot year two, hoping that their quarterback situation is a little bit more stabilized. Because more than anything, that's what crushed them last year. They couldn't pass for shit.
Okay, fifth round. Let's see if you find value in this. Ray Lowry of Old Dominion, and we were pretty close to this situation last year.
We were, and I love it. He's a clear-cut starter, right?
I wouldn't call it clear-cut. They still have that Cox guy. And I think that it's...
Lowry superseded him towards the end of the year, though, right?
He did, and there was injury situation. And
yeah.
I think it's a little bit of an unknown.
In the fifth round, though. Not so bad.
Okay. And then a guy we've talked about that we owned last year during a bye week, Jake Browning actually went in the fifth round, which is very surprising, right?
I like Browning, but they like to run more than they like to pass. I wouldn't want to start him every week. I would love to play him by matchup.
Wow. Okay. So you think fifth round value is good?
I think that's okay. I don't want him to be our every week starter, though.
Okay, and then Miles Gaskin goes in the fifth round, running back for Washington. Very surprising.
Yeah, I think that's awesome value. I would love that.
Okay, and then in the sixth round, Jesse Ertz of Kansas State goes, and I think that's pretty good value because he is a true dual threat guy.
Dude, you know what's funny? I almost messaged you the other day.
Ooh,
I don't know. You're always on these Kansas State quarterbacks, Colin Klein and whatnot. Yahoo wrote some article about how Jesse Ertz is like the best quarterback in the country or in the conference that nobody really talks about, and I almost like snapshotted it and sent a picture to you.
Yeah, that people don't talk about. I wouldn't say best overall.
Yeah, just like unknown.
So another guy who goes in the sixth round that you once advocated for, and that's apparently his value, is Ronald Jones.
Dude, I love him. I love it. He's not going to carry 25, 30 times like other backs will, but his yards per carry is so high. everyone's going to key on Darnold, right? It's, you know, the passing offense and then the quarterback. I love Jones there. And the nice thing about him, especially in a PPR, he can catch, man. And after the catch, he's terrific. He's lightning.
Jarrett Stidham of Auburn, the Baylor transfer.
I think you're a bigger fan than I am. I wouldn't really want to mess with it.
Okay, and then a guy we talked about earlier, Jared Kraft of La Tech, the running back, goes in the seventh round. What do you think?
Seventh round, I'm okay with. He was a tad bit inconsistent for me. Some weeks he was terrific. Some weeks he was super blah.
But it was more because of his coaching, though, right?
That's true. That's true. Sometimes he would lag for carries for no good reason. He would average 5 yards a pop, but...
But I'll tell you, so there's somebody who goes in the seventh round. We picked him up as a free agent last year, and he was returning near top third round value for us, Jordan Chun.
Yeah, from Troy, right?
Yep.
Yeah, dude, I like him a lot. He's a hoss. He runs a lot of, it's not going to be a good comparison now, but the way Robert Turbin used to run at Utah State, he's not sexy. He's not fast. He's just a big boy, and he runs downhill.
So another guy we talked about, we disagreed a little bit about Darren Carrington's value transferring from Oregon to Utah. He goes in the eighth round of this mock draft.
I know you love that. It would have to be there or later for me. I know you're more on him than I am.
I'm definitely good with that.
Yeah.
A guy we owned, and I'm going to jump now really, really hard. In the 12th round goes Tyrone Evans of New Mexico. Do you remember owning him last year?
I do not.
Tyrone Evans of New Mexico.
I don't remember, man. Refresh. Here's the thing. Listen, you do more of it, and you churn our roster so much.
He would touch the ball like 9 times a game, and he would end up being like 80-1, and you'd bitch, why doesn't he get more carries?
Yeah, see, I can't deal with that, because then I know the argument is if he doesn't score, he's worthless. I'm not a fan of those dudes.
Okay. And then, so this might be up Jeff's alley. Chris Evans, the running back for the University of Michigan, likely the number one guy, goes in the 12th round, Jeff. What do you think?
Sure. I love it. There's my input for the college football.
Okay.
I told you I didn't know anything about college football.
But you are a Michigan fan, and you do watch Michigan consistently.
Yes, I do watch.
So you know who Chris Evans is?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I think for the round that he's going in, I don't think that's such bad value because you're hoping on the upside.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan is a great, he's going to be, you know, have another great season, as we all know.
And hope.
So, sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, definitely, he'll definitely benefit from being on a great team.
Okay. And the next time we do this, we'll continue going through the mock draft, and we'll pick up on the later rounds because college football drafts are almost as long as NFL, and this one that we were going through is over 17 rounds long. And I think we talked about quite a few players, and this is just to give a taste out there. We talked about guys we like and guys we don't like, and hopefully when we come back, we'll continue to do that because our college fantasy draft is in the next 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
3 weeks or so, yeah. It's late August. But it's coming up. Anyway, I like what we did. I'm excited to get into the middle rounds of the NFL, and we covered a lot of college ground, which is good because we can get into the late ones, and I don't know, maybe we'll slide in a defense or two next week too.
Look at that. Jeff, it was nice having you. We hope to have you on again in the near future. You're always a welcome guest, and I had a lot of fun, and I can't wait to do it again soon. Thank you, guys.
Jeff, much appreciated.
Thank you. No, it was fun. Thank you for having me. I look forward to doing it again.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Fantasy Advice Bros, presented by Gabber Media.